Welcome to Dealcast, the voice of Merger Market, the world's premier publication about mergers and acquisitions. I'm Juliana Needham. This is the first instalment of Equity Spotlight, where we look at equity capital markets news and trends from around the world. Now, the US has been the dominant stock market globally for years, buoyed up by the big tech stocks. But could that be about to change? To find out more, I'm joined by Sam Kerr, who is the global ECM editor. Hiya, Sam. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Julia.
So could you begin by explaining what US equity exceptionalism is and what changes we've seen so far this year? It's obviously early days.
Well, so the idea of US equity exceptionalism is really apparent really in the name, the idea that US equities have had an exceptional status in the mind of investors in terms of sort of their gains versus other markets around the world and the valuation of US equities versus other stocks in, say, Europe or Asia. US has been the main driver of equity market growth over the last decade and post-financial crisis. The main driver often of global wealth has been US stocks, particularly driven by, you know, the tech stocks, which were coined as FANGs originally, and now is the Magnificent Seven when you add things like Nvidia and other stocks into that equation. But what we've now seen since the start of the year has been a slight reversal in thinking on that and a allocation away from the US into other markets, particularly of interest to us, into Europe. And the reasons behind this are a multitude, but certainly what we are starting to see is big investors taking some of their positions in the US and selling them and putting that money into stocks elsewhere around the globe. The belief perhaps that the US has been now overvalued compared to other markets and that other markets are undervalued is now driving some of that investment flow. If you think about, for example, Europe is a great example of this. If you think about the European holdings of total global stock investors, it is really small. If you look at the MSCI World Index, I mean, Europe really doesn't make up for much more than, say, 10, 11% of global stock market holdings. So say, for example, if you took US pension funds and they wanted to reallocate 1 to 2% of their total investment to Europe, that's a huge amount of stock that they're going to have to buy to get to that level. And so that's why I think we're starting to see, if you look at the main market indexes, Europe performs so well year to date compared to, say, the States, which have been lacking a little bit of performance.
So we'll come on to the reasons behind that, but how has this trend driven capital markets activities so far this year?
Well, if you look at Europe year to date, we're actually up around 30%, I believe, year to date in total equity capital market volumes. And by that, we mean, you know, big deals done in the capital markets of stock. Now, the main driver of this hasn't been IPOs or anything like that. It's been big sell downs by large, you know, long-term shareholders of some really big European names. Within, you know, the last the couple of months, we've seen huge deals in things like Ferrari, Novartis. We've seen billionaires selling down in Greek banks and a massive sort of increase in these volumes of in names that we very, very rarely see in the equity capital markets. I mean, now Ferrari is dual listed. I'll sort of, you know, add that in, but Ferrari itself is of course an Italian heritage brand and has been trading close to record highs this year, and that allowed Exor, the Agnelli family investment vehicle, to sell part of their holding at close to a record high and use those proceeds to first diversify their portfolio a little bit and also raise money for what they're going to say hopefully will be some very large M&A activity. Now, from the investor side of things, if you talk about what we were talking about before, about the need to get a lot of European stock paper, it's very hard to do that in the main market without moving stock prices too much. What a capital markets deal gives you, like a block trade or an equity sell down, as we often call it, is an opportunity to buy a huge amount of stock at a fixed price in what is effectively a private placement. therefore not moving the stock price too much, and also giving you access to far greater, you know, volumes of stock. So it really has worked for buyers and sellers so far this year, and has been a major driver of ECM or equity capital markets, and something that I really do expect to continue as long as this trend does.
And outside of block trades, could this help increase the number of IPOs this year? I read something a few weeks ago that said it might be a bumper year for IPOs in London.
IPOs, the great debate of European IPOs. It's I hope it does. But I think certainly the indications we've had on IPOs so far this year haven't been particularly good. The biggest European IPO that we've had this year, Spanish company HBX Group, which is formerly known as Hotel Beds, which provides sort of travel booking software, was a little bit of a damp squib. It was very structured very well, lots of investor demand for the deal, and fell quite considerably on its first day of trading. It has recovered a bit since, but it shows you that there is still some nerves about the European IPO market. Now, they've got some really big deals possibly coming in the form of Stada, the German pharmaceutical company, Adido, the Dutch telecoms business. So those sorts of deals, we expect to get a lot of investor interest. But I think the reason they will get interest is because they're going to be big. And that, I think, is the theme that we are seeing in even the block trades. Big, very liquid names are things that investors want to be involved in because they have that liquidity premium. That means they can trade in and out of it more quickly, more easily. They're not going to be taking a substantial shareholding position like you would in a mid-cap company. And I think in this sort of quite volatile world that we're living in, the ability and optionality of exiting a position, if you do want to take a big position in an equity deal, is going to be something that investors value quite highly. And that's something they're going to be looking at with IPOs, is the liquidity premium. How liquid is the stock going to be? How big is it going to be? You know, and of course, with size, you also get index inclusion, which is something that people are, you know, really valuing as well, given the passive flows that go to these stocks after listing. With size and liquidity, you are going to get more investor interest. If you are more in that sort of small mid-cap space, I think you're going to struggle still.
And we're going to come on to the big themes underpinning this shift away from US equity exceptionalism in a moment. But could you just outline why there's been a dearth of IPOs? Because surely there are lots of private equity companies that are holding companies that they need to exit.
I think we started to see the market really dry up in 2022. The invasion of Ukraine was obviously a big factor in that. The inflationary cycle was a major factor of that. But there was also a market dynamic that we started to see in 2022, where investors started really pushing back heavily on the price assumptions of sellers, particularly private equity companies. Now, it's taken a long time for, I think, sellers to come to the realization that they have to list at a very large discount in order to get these things out the door. And we're talking 30% plus to listed peers. Now, if you have what you think is a good asset, it is a bit of a difficult pill to swallow to sell that at a 30% discount to a listed peer that you might think you're better than. But what that listed peer has got, firstly, is the liquidity, like we mentioned before, but what it also has is a track record of equity trading through volatile times, which people then are happier to own. And in lots of these cases, if you're listing a company, investors will have to sell down their holdings in that listed peer to buy you. Therefore, you have to make yourself compelling in order to get that. Now, equity stories can be as compelling as anything, but nothing is better than a bigger discount, and in lots of these cases. So that's, I think, where we've had a bit of difficulty encouraging people to come to public markets, is getting them to accept those discount levels. Now, we are getting there. And a lot of these assets that are coming to market have been held in very old vintage funds. You know, we're talking 2017, 2018. Private equity companies are now having their hands forced a little bit by the fact that it's a struggle to get these assets away in private sales. Therefore, they are coming back to the IPO market. Stard is a wonderful example of that. That was a sale process that was the sponsors couldn't get out the door. Therefore, they're coming to the IPO market, and I imagine they will have to come to market at a hefty valuation discount to their peers. And that's what we are going to see far more of. Even if you come cheap, that doesn't guarantee a successful deal, but it at least is a start to show the investors you're willing to engage with them on a realistic price.
Okay, and so what are the names that we should be keeping an eye on? What are the big expected deals this year?
So I think we've mentioned Stada and Nedido. Those are, I think, two of the ones that Europe is really excited about. We have another company, Cirsa, which is asset potentially in Spain, which we expect also to be a big transaction in what we call the Easter IPO window. And you've got to remember, in Europe, our IPO schedule is entirely based around school holidays. So pre and post Easter is a really big issuance window for European companies. And then all the way in the lead up to summer, when everyone again takes a bit of a break, then post summer from September. So we do really think about the IPO market in European windows, which I think probably seems mad to the rest of the world. So that's going to be the situation there. In the US, we have some interesting assets as well. We have a couple of AI IPOs that people are looking at, some crypto assets, which I think people are excited about. But again, the US IPO market hasn't really been that impressive so far this year. And the largest IPO of the year, a company called Venture Global, is a liquid natural gas producer, has really suffered since its IPO. Again, it was slightly overvalued when it was priced, and it has been hit really hard by the trade war. It was a huge exporter of liquid natural gas to China, and the tariffs that China has put in response to the US tariffs that have been put in place have hit Venture pretty hard. So again, it's another little example about how the big global picture is affecting the equity capital markets.
Well, that leads us perfectly onto the last question. We couldn't really avoid it. The big macro themes that are underpinning these trends. We've got a very kind of interesting geopolitical situation, and also the tariffs, which it seems to be unavoidable to get through a recording without talking about tariffs. So could you just outline those?
When we look at the end of US exceptionalism as a trend, I think it probably started before Trump, at least in people's minds. I think people probably started thinking about this a little bit when we had the DeepSeek announcement. That definitely started to make people think about some of the secular AI trends that have been driving a lot of huge equity market growth in the US, particularly for Nvidia, right, which was the most valuable company in the world when this year started. You know, it's lost billions of value so far this year because of what's happened with DeepSeek, and then, you know, the general equity market volatility that's followed. I mean, it's very tough to avoid, though, talking about the politics and, you know, and not to sort of take sides or get too political about it. But I think what's worth remembering is equity markets need certainty. If you're making an investment in a company, you have to have a little bit of a sense of the future of that business. What tariffs do is really impact future earnings in a way that's very difficult for companies to model, because obviously it is so changeable. The new US administration itself is, if anything, unpredictable. You know, every day we're having new headlines about things that the administration is doing that I think does impact US business. At the moment, there is a little bit of more clarity of what's going on in places like Europe. And I think when investors are looking at a view of therefore where they want to be putting their money, that clarity and certainty that is coming from Europe at the moment, and it's not completely certain. Obviously, you know, the German elections, which have just happened, will take some time to resolve. There are questions over the UK economy. But just having a little bit of an idea that a government will be acting in sort of a way that is predictable, I think, is something that investors do really value. With the Trump administration at the moment, you know, everything is changing so fast that I think it's quite difficult for equity investors to make a long-term play on some of these US assets. And I think that is probably accelerating this drive towards the end of US exceptionalism.
And it's kind of hard for the rest of us to keep up. So that feels like a good point to end on. Thanks very much, Sam. That was Sam Kerr, who is the Global ECM Editor. And just to point out, we are recording this episode on Wednesday, the 5th of March. Thanks for listening to this episode of Dealcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please follow it. And if you're listening through Apple, please rate and review the show. If you'd like to find out more about what we've been talking about, have a look at our show notes. Join us again next week.